coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this Tuesday evening. Welcome back to the live broadcast. Thank you so much to everybody that tuned in to our typical epic live coverage. I love our live coverage episodes where we go out to live events. This last one last week was MUFON Symposium, one near and dear to my heart. I am a lifetime MUFON member and benefactor. I am thoroughly behind their research. I love what they do, and got to meet tons of great researchers that we have on the show, some new folks, like our guest in the first part here in just a couple minutes, Terry Tabondo. We will be talking about possible ruins on the surface of Mars, folks. And it's one of those, like, when you consider our origins, I've said for years, like jokingly since I was in high school, we better figure something out interstellarly because we ain't going to be able to keep this planet the way we keep it. We probably destroyed other planets before we got here, and we're just right on course. And we're going to be getting into that. We're going to be getting into tons of pictures, tons of photographs, all kinds of great stuff with Terry. In our second part, we will be talking about the Trump assassination attempt, and specifically unraveling some of the conspiracy theories behind it. That's a lot of what we do on this show, folks. It's about demystifying things so that the conversation can actually happen. You know, as long as things live in some mysterious void and vacuum of data, conversations can't happen. So you need to be able to look at data from both sides. You need to be able to remember why the color of this show is purple. The color of this show is purple because we should be combining those two colors together. We should be thinking about things in a very critical way. And even the fact that, so far, and just so you know, folks, our second guest is always pre-recorded. So Mike Turber is not live tonight, though he will be out in the audience. He will be listening. Really the only update from what we said in the pre-record, which happened yesterday evening, is the fact that the Secret Service head has officially resigned. So that is really the only update. Pretty much the Pennsylvania State Police came out today and said that, pretty much everything that we say here in this episode, even down to the fact that, yes, there were 8 gunshots and they all came from one roof. There were 8 casings recovered from the roof with the body. That was released as of this evening. So those are really the only two updates. One of them very confirmative to what me and Mike Turber talk about in our analysis of the gunshot audio. Our guest in the first segment is Terry Tabondo. He is the author of The Citizens Disclosure on UFOs and ETI, Global Evidence of the UFO and ETI Presence. And I say volume one because, well, it's voluminous. I mean, people, these are literal textbooks on this information and a complete series, a complete volume of them. Welcome to the show. Terry, how are you doing today?
Very good, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming.
I hope I do justice to our topic tonight. And I just want to say I was also very impressed with MUFON. The excellent emceeing, the setup, the organization, all the executives that did what they needed to do to make this successful. And so I'm very impressed, very impressed.
Yeah, they do. They really do put on a fantastic event. They've always got tons of great speakers, and fantastic panels. So thank you very much for being able, as a sponsor. Thank you for being able to come out to this year's event and speak. And it was great to meet you. Great to be able to sit down at the bar and chat with you about things. And that's where we got into this conversation. And I was like, I've definitely got to have you on the show, Terry. So how did you first come to the world of exploring Mars and the world of really deep diving into Mars Rover and Mars Observer satellite images.
I've always had an affinity for Mars, and I think a lot of people do. I have been following the space program since its first inception, and I was very interested when they started sending probes and orbiters and land rovers around the on the surface of Mars. And what got me intrigued was obviously what a lot of people saw was the face on Mars. And I thought, that looks like what they're claiming. Although I know NASA will say it's just a figment of light and shadow. And I've taken a bit of astronomy. I didn't complete a course or get a degree in it, but I've got some understanding of what I'm seeing, and I compare it with what we've got on Earth. So when I do that, I've got now a reference, which is the Earth, and whether that be monuments, various stone reliefs, whether it's plants, animals, etc.,
sure,
which is what I hope we get into. And I just felt attracted to it, and I felt that there is a possibility of life in the universe, and particularly on Mars. Now, one of the things I brought up in my presentation at MUFON was a quote that goes like this: "Know thou that every fixed star, we have a fixed star, the sun, hath its planets, and every planet hath its creatures." Now, a religious or biblical, a quote from the Baha'i faith, which is what that isn't proof of life in the solar system or in the universe. However, NASA is rethinking all of its zone of habitability, and I think they're going to end up finding, we got to think of the sun as the source of life.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah. No, precisely, because without that solar activity, Terry, without the sun, and a lot of people don't realize that, like, the periodic elements on the table of elements, a lot of them come from directly the sun. Gold does not grow here on Earth. Whatever got here when Earth was created is what we have on Earth. That's it. Until we can find the philosopher's stone and learn to make gold. That's it. It is a fully finite substance here on this planet. And it's interesting to think about that. And it's interesting to kind of like the idea of diamonds. You know, like they just discovered that mercury is covered with like a 10-mile layer of diamonds. You know, so it's like, oh, it's really rare, huh, De Beers?
I mean, I found a couple of objects that are geometrical on mercury. And now we're looking at, they're rethinking their views on Venus, but we've always considered Mars as really more of a sister planet than any of the other planets in the solar system. And for good reason, because we've always looked at it. I mean, the planet of war, essentially, and Venus, the planet of love. So, you know, when you delve into this, John Brandenburg brought this up when he said that there is the xenon isotope on Mars, which is an indication of a thermonuclear chaos or destruction on parts of that planet. And along with uranium and thorium and a few other elements that are in the atmosphere and on the surface of the planet. So, you know, when we look at the Roman aspect of Mars, the god of war, perhaps that's not too far off. And maybe they're recollecting about what may have occurred in the past, even though we've discovered it recently through telescopes and with space probes.
And that's just it. Like, the planets have been observed for a long, long time. There have been stories about them for a long, long time. And even when the canali were first discovered, described, and sketched by Percival Lowell, The idea was that they were obviously waterways. And he drew out, whenever you look at his stuff, like, outcroppings of plants and things like that, you know, and it's interesting when you start going through and looking at many things. And don't get me wrong. I am a rock hound, Terry, like, been fascinated with geology and rocks and minerals since I was a kid. And yeah, well, yeah, the first one, anytime somebody's like, you know, perfect cubes don't occur in nature, I'm like, I don't think you collect pyrite.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Mother Nature is really laying it out before us like never before. And I'm having to rethink whether we're just living on a ball of rock and vegetation with some ocean. And
yeah,
reality is that we're seeing things around the planet that are mimic, like flowers, like orchids, that mimic certain insects, yep, or creatures, or certain rock relief that look like an elephant, a turtle, an alligator, and they're not giant beings like this. These things are huge. So we have to come think of it as either this is Mother Nature and she's telling us something, or we have to accept the fact that somewhere in the distant past, somebody constructed this. But for what purpose, for what end, why on such a gigantic level, we don't know. But the face of Mars is exactly that. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's like a mile across and about a mile and a half long, and it's structured. And the person that twigged me on to all of this was Richard C. Hoagland.
Oh, my God.
Which I'm sure, yes, a lot of listeners will probably be familiar with. And he found a number of different things on Mars, including the face that we're all familiar. And there are many faces. This is not the only one, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As well as the Cydonia complex. And that one, yes, that one is one that, you know, I will tell people all the time, whether you consider the face on Mars something, or just a weathered rock face, pareidolia. All right. The Cydonia complex is very interesting, because, there are things that exist.
The DNM pyramid that's there, that's the five-sided buttress pyramid. Yep. And when you look at all the other pyramidal monuments or reliefs on the surface, I'll tell you something. They do line up with the belt of Orion. And so now we've not only got three or four locations on Earth that have pyramids that line up with the belt of Orion,
yep,
but now we have found a similar one on Mars. So this means we have a very intimate connection as humans to Mars, or whatever Martians have an intimate relationship with Earth.
Yeah.
And so these are some of the things that I found. Now, the interesting thing is that there are many what they call pictoglyphs on Mars. Some of them are like tigers or cougars. Mm-hmm. Others are like dolphins. Some are like whales. There's almost every type of animal you can think of that had been depicted in some form or shape on the planet Mars. And one of the things is that when I started hunting around, Richard C. Hoagland had a website called the Enterprise Mission, and
yep,
he had one section called NASA Goes Hunting, Goes Apartment Hunting.
Yeah.
And I went and looked at that, and he said, well, there's rebar in this structure. And I looked and I thought, what is he looking at? You know, because I'm not seeing it. So I started to blow things up and make them a little clearer. And sure enough, I could see the rebar. So then I went to terrestrial structures that where buildings had collapsed to see what it looks like when, is there any rebar in that collapsed structure? Sure enough, there was. So I compared apples to oranges and oranges to apples. And basically, it was an apple or it was an orange, but it was the same animal.
Well, let's start getting into some things here, Terry, before we get too deep and don't start getting into pictures, because the first one that you show, the first one that you sent is one, that's pretty interesting. And it, like the, especially the image on the upper right of Mars and the Martian atmosphere is one that I distinctly remember from the inside of my astronomy textbook from high school. Where you could see ozone, basically. The same thing that makes our sky blue, you know.
Right. This is known as the Rayleigh effect. And essentially, most planets, depending on what's in the atmosphere in the way of dust particles, et cetera,
sure,
will determine the color of the atmosphere. But what this indicates here, particularly with Mars, is that its atmosphere is very similar to Earth. And though what you see in the bottom photograph is what NASA is showing you, which is a false red-orange glow of the atmosphere. Now, I'm saying that these pictures have been manipulated to get people to think that Mars is red in all manner of its existence, whether it's a red atmosphere or a red salmon color, pink color surface,
sure,
et cetera, et cetera. Well, we have those similar surfaces on various parts of our planet, such as in Australia and in Arizona and in Colorado and up in Baffin Island and down in Atacama.
Where we test all of our Mars equipment.
Yes, and this is where they're testing out a lot of their equipment to see what sort of environment and how they would traverse the terrain and all the rest of it. And you know, as we will dive into this, we start to come across certain things that are questionable, that make you ask the question, is this real or is it Memorex?
Yeah, yeah.
And the blue Rayleigh effect is when this scattering of light, which reflects the blue end of the spectrum, and that's what we would see, and we would see it on Mars. So when we color correct the image that NASA shows us of a red horizon with a red terrain, and just say, you know, you're clicking with an autocorrect, it will automatically bring it up as blue.
Mm.
And like that isn't manipulating anything. It's just autocorrecting. It's a simple procedure. So this is one of the things that will indicate that there is possibly an atmosphere, which they now realize that there is. There's methane in that atmosphere.
Yep.
Contrary to what NASA originally stated, the European Space Agency said, no, there is methane, and it's in great quantities, which only means that a couple of things could cause that, either plant and animal life or the release of molecules from the soil, which is I think iron and some other elements that would produce that. But the thing is, what they're saying is, when you look at everything else, what you're finding is there seems to be what looks like water on the surface and even vegetation.
Yep.
And now you briefly showed a desert-like area that's pink. And when you look at that particular a slide, what you see looks like possibly trees or shrub of some kind. Mm. And yet NASA is saying, no, this is carbon dioxide ice that's sort of coming to the surface as a geyser and then spilling out onto the surface. Very possible. But when you start to look again at what we have on Earth compared to these what looks like vegetation on Mars, and you zoom in on what is on Mars, you find that some of this imaging is very similar to what they find in Madagascar.
Huh.
You got these bulbous trees with branches that branch out with flowers and perhaps leaves on them. And that is, again, what I'm trying to say is, no, this looks like vegetation. and it's growing in a somewhat hot climate. Well, the trees that grow on Mars and Madagascar are in a hot climate.
Well, and you know, specifically, especially living here in Austin and having lived here, like I remember driving through the Bastrop fire to come see my wife, who was then my girlfriend, on a bus at the time. And that's what it looks like to me, is almost like the remnants of a burnt forest, burnt trees, things like that. Like, that is exactly what Bastrop looked like until all of 2-3 years ago, when things started growing back and grasses started coming back and wildflowers started coming back and trees and things like that. So,
if this was a geyser of carbon dioxide ice coming to the surface, you'd see splash marks all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't be all sort of lined up in one area. You'd see it coming towards the camera, away from the camera, from off to the side of the camera. In other words, it's just like you would normally see on Earth, where a geyser shoots up and sprays out all the stuff out in a radius. You know, or around the vent hole. So this is what I'm looking at. And, you know, when I went to university, I took some astronomy lessons. I did physics, anthropology, sociology, geology, etc. And so I'm using all of that knowledge to try and look at this. Does this mean I'm right? No,
no.
I'm not going to stick my neck out and say 100%, but my gut feeling says I'm on to something, and I got to acknowledge that feeling.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, and especially whenever you look at the color of that pink. Let me bring up. Hold on. I was trying to find the exact algae, and I cannot remember what it is, but there it is. This is basically like what turns pink flamingos pink.
Yeah.
Is the red tide, the bacteria that causes red tide, you know? And when you look at the image of that, once again, it is that color pink. So I'm just throwing it out there. Like you said, I'm not going to put my neck out and say it is, but you've got to be willing to hypothesize. I mean, that's something that people forget, Terry, is that beautiful part of the scientific method. The scientific method starts with observation, seeing something, believing so, what have you. You know, from there, you research a topic and you get data points and things like that.
And then you get a number of people seeing the same thing and exploring it further and making it reproducible, then you know you're onto something. I don't know if you got the other picture that shows the trees that are on Earth. That's another example of when you blow up what is there, these bulbous, what they call gas patterns. But, to me, they're bulbous type trees.
Looks like big bok choy.
Yeah, and the thing is, as I say, comparing that with what I see in the Socotra image with the trees on Earth in Madagascar, boy, do they ever look very similar to this? Do you have that image or not? There it is. Yeah, I mean, like it speaks for itself. You're comparing the two and saying, my God, if you're trying to say that this is carbon dioxide gassing on Mars, well, then how is it that it takes the same shape and pattern as a tree? I mean, even to the lower shrubbery on either side of the tree bulbs.
Yeah, the grass.
It looks like grass of some kind.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are the questions we need to be asking. I don't try and make it that. I only go by what I present and saying, boy, are these ever similar?
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's just it, you know, and you've got to be willing to do it, you know. You mentioned Richard C. Hoagland earlier, and he's a dream guest for me. I've wanted to interview Richard for years and years. but it's the fact of you've got to be willing to question. The main thing in science is killing your darlings. You know, and you've got, even if you're the one that came up with the hypothesis, you've got to be ready to drive it into the ground because something else came up.
I mean, I'm one of those people who, I said I wouldn't put my neck on the line, but really I would. Sure. I really would put my neck on the line. And if you presented me with a great argument that was opposing my argument, I would pay attention because I'm probably going to learn something from what you're stating. And it's going to get me to go back and research whatever I thought I knew.
That's
and
right.
Again, I'm going to be doing all this comparison type work and whatnot. But as you follow along on this interview, you're going to see that particular plant life is only one of many other plant lives.
Yeah.
There are trees on Mars.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's also the fact, Terry, of, people get so sad whenever a picture gets deleted or whenever somebody goes, oh, that's perfectly explainable. But, the information culled from the data set is just as important as the information that you keep. Knowing what something is and how to discount it from the data set leaves anomaly and therefore clears up exactly what you're looking at and exactly what to look into, you know? So never be sad, folks, if somebody's like, oh, well, I can explain what your picture is. Awesome. You still added to the data set of the science
exactly,
of all of this.
Exactly. I mean, I've gone and looked at stuff that I pulled off the internet and go back to see that particular site. It's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just lucky enough to download it at the time and, record it at least on my computer or in my books. And so they're not going to get rid of this. And I can tell you right now, my books have already gone international.
Beautiful.
I made sure
Beautiful.
Of that. Even if I didn't sell a lot, I made sure they went to Europe, to Israel, to Japan. They sell in the States. They sell in Canada. They sell in Britain and Germany.
That's great, Terry. That's great.
So that's what I'm making sure the information gets out.
That's just it. And that's a lot of why I do this show is because, you know, and have people like you on, even with the topic like this. And I know that there are a lot of hardcore nuts and bolts people out there that may be like, oh, why is he having, because I'm having him on because it's a conversation on a topic that we need to be willing to look at,
exactly. You
know, especially with the next picture that we're going to show, with water on Mars, you know, and the idea of this hypothesis was fought my entire life, Terry. I was told, and I'm only coming up on 50, still kind of a young pup in the world.
Yeah, I'm old enough to be your father. But
enough science has happened in my life that my high school textbook for astronomy had Pluto as a planet. My son's astronomy calendar chart on his wall does not. Because science changes.
I disagree with NASA on that one. you know, the interesting thing is Pluto has an atmosphere. It has a moon or satellite orbiting
it.
And I think it's even got some life forms on it. We need clearer pictures. But there's something on the surface that's leaving trails. And it isn't a giant rock sliding across the ice.
Yeah, like we have here. With the walking rocks in the desert.
Exactly, in
California. Yeah. But for my whole life, Terry, it was said there is no water on Mars. There is no water. And then one day we heard like, you know, there was some frost found on the track of one of the observers, you know, one of the rovers like took a picture of itself during inspection in the morning and it had some frost on the track. So obviously there's enough moisture in the air for frost to form. And then we heard, you know, oh, there may be some, you know, like dry ice at the poles, you know, like some CO2, carbon dioxide ice, you know, like, there's actively water on Mars. And
I mean, this image shows not only what looks like a little lake in a crater, but the frost on the side of the crater rim.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is only one image that I have. I've actually got some images that show lakes with trees around the lake.
Oh, wow.
I have others that show what look like large puddles of water. And so the thing is, you can only go on just so long and put out disinformation or misinformation or try to divert your attention away to something else. When NASA went to Mars and successfully landed, the two craft that went there were actually looking for microbes on the Earth, on Mars. And they did find it, but they, I forget the name of the scientist who was speaking out about this because he was the head of that project at the time. And I think NASA said, no, this is not what's on there. This is, may have been brought from the Earth or the incorrect reading, etc. And like we're finding, like Mars wants to find the microbes and the bacteria, when in fact we're finding much more sophisticated life forms, much more complicated. And they're covering a great range of diversity from plants to aquatic life to reptilian life to life that is mammalian, et cetera, et cetera. And they're still looking for the microbes. Like, give me a break already. You know, most of us are not stupid. Most of us are fairly educated. And now you're going to try and tell us what we learned in university or in high school is wrong because you're the official entity that's saying this is the way it is. Okay, you've got the scientists, et cetera, but I know for a fact that those scientists have to play ball if you're going to work for NASA. And NASA is trying to influence other space agencies. This is an interesting photo. It looks like a graveyard of dead animals or a possible zoo that with different bone structures all over it. I highlighted it in red and labeled what I thought the skulls represented. And they could be bird skulls, simian skulls, reptilian like alligator skulls, et cetera, et cetera. And the whole point here is when you start to look at these fossils, well, one looks like a cat, and I compared this with other cat-type skulls that are fossilized or decayed, and boy, oh boy, it's exactly the same thing, and that's using terrestrial animals to compare it, which also brings up a very interesting point. How do you have two planets with the same kinds of creatures on it? There's only a couple of possibilities. The Martians came from Mars and put it on Earth, or sometime in the past, humans went to Mars and brought some of the animals with them. I mean, you don't normally get two planets with the same types of evolution occurring. That's not the way it works. Yeah. Every planet is going to have its unique life forms based on the environmental conditions.
Yeah, I mean, the same way that we do on Earth. And you know, much like you were saying a while ago with those specialized conditions in very specialized parts of the world, like Australia, places like that, where the terrain is very similar to that of Mars. You look at the fact of, yeah, a lot of those animals are very specialized for that environment so that they can live in that environment. You know, even whenever you look at the deserts of North America, deserts across the world, once again, where we go to test this kind of equipment that would go into this environment, those animals are very specialized to that.
That's right. And, you know, one of the famous photos was the white Martian bunny. And because people thought that the little animal had long ears and it was kind of white, and so it was given the nickname the white Martian rabbit or bunny.
Yeah.
Now, NASA is saying, no, this is just fragments from the parachute that brought the rover down in its lander or carriage. And what happened was the wind was blowing some of this across the surface. Well, I took a careful look at this, and I blew it up or enlarged it to a reasonable size. And when you compare this now with animals in Australia, such as the Martian, the bilby, there's a lesser bilby and a greater bilby, and they're both white or grayish.
Yeah.
And you look at this object or creature on the left, which is from Mars, you say, oh my God, this looks like the same thing. What am I looking at? How is that possible? And, you know, this is an animal that I recognize. I seem to be able to find this stuff when I do a little bit of research.
Sure.
And I've actually named it. So I've given this a scientific name, which is part of what you do when you discover an animal. And I call this the Martis, which is Mars. And there's a scientific string of names, about seven names, and then Tabando at the end of it. So I named it after myself. This is two creatures that I found. The other one was a looks like a mole, and I found a similar creature on Earth, which is the white marsupial mole. And guess where it's found? It's found in northwestern Australia, the same place as the bilby. Now, this has got me scratching my head, because I'm thinking, how is that possible, you know, to see something very similar? This Martian mole is kicking up dust from in the rear, and it's leaving a trail pretty much the same way. You can see the undulation of the white marsupial mole from northwestern Australia.
Yeah, and the shadow underneath it.
I think this is the same creature.
Interesting.
Now, the question that it brings up is NASA recognizing that there's life on Mars but saying nothing? Or are they deceiving us and showing creatures on Earth that, like in Australia, that looks like Mars and saying, well, in case anybody finds this, this is what they'll probably see? Well, then what they've done is they've done a deception. One of two things. They're not revealing what they know, or they're deceiving what they have found.
Mm.
And are using it. And so they're caught between a rock and a hard place, as far as I'm concerned. And that they need to be called out on that. And they're doing this now with a lot of different things. There are things that look like lizards, snakes, rodents, like
lemon. There was the one, and I had to pop up in a few communities because I do electronics for a living. I've built cabinets for the road, all kinds of things. And the one that popped up that was making the rounds where people were like, oh my God, it's a snake skin. And it's like, well, no, that's actually a piece of wire weaving that goes around stuff that, like, eventually in the heat of the desert dried and cracked and came off. You know, it used to be like a gray or black color, and now it's white because of the bleaching. Like, you know, no, it wasn't that. But yes, there have been a lot of, once again, interesting pictures, especially whenever you start getting into vegetation, things like that. And the next series is one that, once again, I will say that wild shapes get grown by nature, perfect cubes, all kinds of things.
Six-sided oblong or towers.
Yeah, you know, hexagons are natural, all kinds of things. I walk around with a quartz crystal in my pocket that's almost a perfect hexagon. But the image that we have on screen right now that appears to be a structure, and yeah, it's very interesting.
This is a palace in Iran in the top photo. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom photos show something of a similar structure that's buried under sand. But you can see the geometry of it. And in fact, when you start doing a lot more research, and I've got a lot of photographs that show this, there are things that look like giant keyholes on Mars, and you can find the same thing in Japan or in Iran and Iraq. And I'm thinking, again, how is this possible?
I would gladly accept a right angle outcropping of rocks. Terry, once again, I am a rock hound. I've seen all kinds of things. Rocks will grow in right angles. All kinds of outcroppings of rocks will grow in right angles. But dude, this is a cube. Like, there is a matching right angle on the opposite side down in this corner. There is another right angle popping up right here. Like,
and these are the things that are readily visible to anybody that takes the time to look at what is on the surface. And this is taken from high orbit of Mars. And so what happens is they fly over and they look at these things and they photograph them, they find the location, because I think eventually at some point we're going to go to Mars and we're going to go to some of these places and we're going to see that there are structures that have been created by somebody or some intelligence, humanoid or whatever. Now, again, we're looking at things that are on Earth and things that are on Mars, and looking at the similar structure, particularly in the top photograph, and then we're looking at what appears to be hills or, with structure on the interior of it or on the top of it, such as what we would think of Stonehenge, for instance. And, you know, normally you wouldn't get mounds that close together in perfect symmetry with each other, but you can see that there's some kind of circles within them, and they're not natural. These are something that look like they're being constructed in some form. When you build a certain mound, particularly in Britain, there are these mounds that have concentric circles around them. And I have, again, photographs that show what's on Earth comparing it to what we have found on Mars. And you really are then scratching your head and saying, something is going on here that is too closely related to each other.
And I do a lot of lunar observation. I do a lot of backyard astronomy, things like that, Terry. And even if you were to say, okay, this looks like a raised mound in the middle of a crater. What is more interesting to me is this formation right here.
Yes.
Where it looks like a spiral going around, going to it. That is what's more remarkable, because the others have an inner ridge, which is very common, especially with an impact, things like that. But the fact that this is a descending spiral going down into it is pretty interesting.
Now, you could flip that photo upside down, for instance, and it will show the shadow on the bottom as opposed to on the top. And sometimes that is a way of determining whether this is a crater or whether this is a mound.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, you can, once again, you can see where there is something inside of the crater, and looks the like a raised mound inside of it with structure on top. Absolutely remarkable. And once again, the fact that you have been exploring this for so long, we have you for about another 10 minutes or so, Terry. What's some of the most remarkable stuff that you have found? As you speak, I'm just going to kind of go through a few pictures.
This is stuff that other people have found before I looked at it. And it definitely looks like structure, where there's squares and lines connecting each other. And it looks like a city. And when you compare it to some of the Incan and Peruvian cities, or even, southwestern United States, you can see the same similar structures. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what this is really indicating is, if Mother Nature is creating this, boy, she is talented, beyond doubt. But I'm saying that there's too much of that in one area. And it's like it's saying that there's an artificiality to it created by an intelligence. Mm. The thing that I have found that's most intriguing is that I found what looks like a second or third head on Mars. So the one in the upper left-hand corner was found on the moon. The two, the one in the middle and the one on the bottom left, are two that I found on Mars, and they're in very close proximity to each other. And I've nicknamed the one that I found on Mars as Lore 1, which was the brother of Data, and Lore 2. So, and this was found amongst what appears to be ruin and rebar structure and other forms of artificiality. So if this was, say, an apartment that collapsed through destruction of some kind, then whatever remained that was probably in some of the apartments is this the structure. Was that a robotic head? I don't know. Or was it a statue head? Yeah. Or was it a doll's head? I don't know.
Yeah. And you know, once again, even looking at the face on Mars and the complex with it, everything else, there seems to be intelligent design behind that area, behind that whole little region. There seems to be some very specific alignments, very specific angular alignments between things.
Exactly.
And seeming artificial construction, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is probably one of the clearest pictures we have of that face of Mars. And the interesting thing is that if you take a mirror and you put it on one side or the other, you either see a human face or a lion's face. Mm. And so, and this was a common, thing of doing, in South America and Peru, where they made sculptures and whatnot, not on this scale, but where there are other configurations of either a person or an animal or both,
yeah,
all incorporated into that.
Yeah.
But the most interesting thing I found was the humanoid skeleton on Mars. And if you bring that up, we can let the folks viewing in see that, and we can discuss that a little bit. This particular photo was in an area called, I think it was Yellowknife or something like that.
Is this it here?
This is part of it. Now, what I want to draw your attention to is the structure of this anomaly. We got a square structure which I've highlighted, and we've got something in the background or on the back of it that could be a nozzle, a jet, I don't know. Hmm. And we have something that looks like a turret up in the left center. But what we have found is in the original photograph of this area, there was another turret type object, and it was close to a body. But when you cut and paste this turret and you put it back up into this whole area, where it's, I call it a land cruiser, speed cruiser, or Martian spacecraft, there is the turret down on the far left, and you cut and paste and put it in that same square spot, it looks like it belongs there.
Mm.
Now, when I was looking at this, I thought, okay, there's some obvious anomaly, but there's something else that caught my attention as I was about to click off the photograph and look for something else. And that was the body. If you go back to that image, this is a close-up of this. There appears to be the upper portion of a skeleton, rib cage, long neck, and a head, and what may be an arm. The other portion of the rib cage is this section in the lower left here. And again, cut and paste and putting it over onto that object or humanoid, as I call it, a corpse, it seems to fit. So it's like, oh, my God, I think I'm looking at not only a spacecraft, I'm looking at the pilot, and there's also, wow, creatures, like a land animal of some kind, and possibly an aquatic or cetacean in the photograph, which makes me wonder, was this area part of a lake? In which case, that could be a submarine, I don't know. But it could also be a spacecraft or something that floats over the water, whatever. I'm guessing. But when you put something that's artificial beside something that is organic, it's very hard not to sort of make a conclusion that we're looking, yeah, at something that is related to the artificiality. Now, the second photograph in the bottom left here is another skeleton that somebody else found on Mars.
Mm.
And I could see the same rib cage, the spine, the neck, etc. And I agree with this person. I estimated that this this skeleton is about 10 feet high, 10 feet tall. And the drawing on the bottom was from a remote view done by Joseph McGonigal, who is part of the Project Stargate, SRI. And I show a little human beside it for comparison. The other one up at the top was a model that somebody felt inspired to illustrate a, what could be a Martian. And I'm getting, like, we got four different images, but they're all related. And so we've got two skeletons, which seems to confirm there's a giant humanoid on Mars. I've just come across something else recently that supports that.
Wow.
So what we're really looking at is we're looking at beings that probably are 9-10 feet tall at least, and built structures on Mars that would sort of accord with the giganticism or the immensity of their structure. This is a three-sided pyramid, coming to a very defined point with radius arms going away from it. Obviously, Mars has a lot of sandstorms on it. And what will happen is they can last from 6 to 9 months of sandstorms all over the planet. So they could bury things and they could unbury things. And whatever may have been buried and is revealed is well preserved, that you can still recognize what it is.
Well,
and so I believe that when we look at these skeletons and we compare them with human corpses, they're very much similar. Not exact, but they're similar.
Well, Terry, I want to thank you for your time, man. I've got to have you on again and again. Things like this, especially, you know, like once again, Richard Hoagland got me into Mars Anomalies, had to have been 1997. Something like that, whenever I first stumbled across his work on Coast to Coast AM and went down that rabbit hole. And just the idea that, you know, there may have been something there in the past and there may be remnants sitting right on the surface that, yes, once again, it's like watching the Sahara Desert just consume a civilization, you know, except it happens like you said, on some parts of the planet, a good 6 months out of the year where it's a constant sandstorm. So you'd bury something rapidly or expose it and then bury it again, depending on the direction of the wind.
It's true on Earth as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you could bury a body in peat, bog and it will be almost well preserved. You know, mummification is another method. They found that even when you bury a body in or near salt will also seem to preserve the body. So the thing I'm saying here is, based on the few photographs we've shown tonight, is that there is life on Mars. We have to seriously think about not going there with the ideal of colonizing and setting up shop as if everything is kosher, that it's there for the taking. It's not. I say if there's even a microbe on there, we have no business trying to colonize it.
You know, man, I said on the original incarnation of this show, whenever Elon Musk shot the spaceman out into the, I was like, I hope that thing was in a clean room. I hope they built that car in a clean room. Because otherwise, like, we're just sending microbes from Earth anywhere in the galaxy. And that is horribly irresponsible. Like, horribly irresponsible.
I tell people that, like, if you are a being from another planet and you're coming here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they take precautions.
Never forget.
On their end.
We won War of the Worlds. We won War of the Worlds because of the microbes.
That's exactly right. And here's the thing. I've had contact with ET, and I'll tell you, they never, ever show up in the physical form.
No, Terry.
Because the fact is that they could introduce a bacteria or a virus to us and wipe us out very, very quickly, not intentionally, but just by their presence.
That's
or
right.
Or vice versa. Yes. And the problem is we just came off a global pandemic that is of a terrestrial virus, COVID. And now we're thinking, yeah, we can go up and shake the paw or the tentacle or whatever it is and think that that's not a big deal. Yeah, there is a big deal.
Thank you.
We have to start asking or start thinking about those questions of whether or not we want to physically engage until we have the proper medical health.
Got to have protocols in place. Got to have even whenever, and this is right on the cusp of the anniversary of NASA, the anniversary of the Apollo missions, even those guys, whenever they first came back, like they were sequestered. They were put into isolation for like 2 weeks.
And you know, somebody put a Canadian doctor in with them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. Well, and I knew where he came from because I've been to the same place. And, but basically they wanted to make sure they weren't bringing anything back.
Yeah.
Well, that will tell you volumes right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Terry, thank you so much for your time. We've got to have you back on again. Make sure everybody to stop on by Amazon. You can buy Terry's book right there,
Barnes
his series of books, Barnes & Noble, all kinds of places. You can also find it on the Curious Realm store at CuriousRealm.com. Terry, thank you so much for your time tonight. We will be in touch with links, all that kind of good stuff.
And anytime you want to do it again, I'm available.
I will definitely. It's much easier for me to get in touch with you now. So
we will
definitely be in touch, Terry. Take care. Have a great evening.
You too.
All right, man, what an incredible topic, folks. Once again, I have been wanting to cover Mars, possible life on Mars, things like that for years. And as you guys know, I like to demystify topics, not get people further down in rabbit holes. So to be able to talk to actual researchers in the field, to be able to talk to people who are rooting through things and doing that hard book research, it's fantastic to be able to do that. When we come back from this quick break, we will be talking with Mike Turber from 5x5 News. We will be breaking down the Trump assassination attempt. We'll be breaking down what we know about the young shooter, what we know that was pretty well, once again, everybody, confirmed by the Pennsylvania State Police in their statement tonight. So when we come back from this break, Trump assassination updates and dispelling the conspiracy theories that are out there right after this.
The key to good science is good research. At the heart of good research is a good data set. With the field observation and encounter log from Curious Research, you can easily keep track of your investigative information all in one place, making it easier to review cases and readily see comparisons and contrasts between them. Whether out in the woods squatching, in a back room gathering EVPs, or using high-tech gear to track UFO UAP activity, this easy-to-carry, pocket-sized scientific data log is the perfect companion for any field researcher. You can find your copy of the Curious Research Field Observation and Encounter Log at Amazon.com. Or visit the official Curious Realm store at CuriousRealm.com/store to reserve your copy for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is CuriousRealm.com/store.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back from that break. Thank you so much for staying around, and thank you so much to our sponsors, especially True Hemp Science. If you are an anxiety sufferer like me, if you travel, things like that, my doctor recommended me CBD for my anxiety years ago, and that is when I found Christopher Lynch of True Hemp Science. His products are absolutely fantastic. Everything made in an alchemical spigyric process, every part of the plant used, from stem to root to leaf to stem, amazing terpene profiles. The only stuff I've found across the country
with a terpene profile to it. So stop on by, check them out, folks. TrueHemScience.com is the website that you want to go to, and Curious7 is the code that you want to use to get 7% off your entire cart of $50 or more, and get two edibles, 50 milligram edibles for free as well. Our guest in this segment, and the horrifying topic for this segment, our guest is our good friend Mike Turber. The topic is the conspiracies and the facts behind the recent attempt on former President Trump's life. There was an assassination attempt during his recent rally in Pennsylvania. We will be getting into the facts behind that, what is now the aftermath of that. And, of course, as we do on the show regularly, demystify things. You know, I am a fan of hypothesis, and you are allowed to hypothesize anything in the world, folks. That is what hypothesis is for. But it is through the experimentation and through the finding of datum that we prove or disprove hypothesis. So, you know, we will be talking about some of the many wild hypotheses that are swinging around the internet right now about this incident. We will dispel some of those things. We will get into some of the analysis of the actual gunshots that happened and talk about that. Before we welcome Mike onto the show, I would like to play this clip. It came out today. Senator Mace interviewing Kimberly Cheadle, the head of the Secret Service, in a congressional hearing.
Director,
here we go. Let's check out this amazing footage because it's interesting.
You answered more questions with an ABC reporter than you have with members of Congress.
This is out of Forbes, folks.
The American people are demanding that we get answers to those questions, and that's what the purpose of this hearing is today. So I'm sure a lot of the questions that have already been asked are going to be asked again, and hopefully we can get some answers to those questions. I strongly implore you to answer those questions. You're here with a subpoena, and we expect you to answer the questions. Chair now recognizes Ms. Mace from South Carolina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Cheadle, the American people are watching, and they're wondering if there are any questions you can answer honestly today. So, Director Cheadle, I have a series of questions, very specific questions. I want very specific answers. Most of my questions are going to demand a yes or no answer. Do you understand?
I do.
Okay, my first question. Both sides of the aisle today have asked for your resignation. Would you like to use my 5 minutes to draft your resignation letter, yes or no?
Thank you.
Was this a colossal failure?
It was a failure.
Yes or no? Was it a colossal failure is the question, yes or no?
I have admitted this is a terrible...
This is a yes or no series of questions. Was this a colossal failure, yes or no?
Yes.
Was this tragedy preventable, yes or no?
Yes.
Has the Secret Service been transparent with this committee?
Yes.
Would you say the fact that we had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today as being transparent, yes or no?
I have always been...
Yes or no? You didn't want to answer the question.
Committee.
We had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today. That is not transparent, by the way. You stated earlier Secret Service is not political. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Would you say leaking your opening statement to Punchbowl News, Politico's Playbook, and Washington Post several hours before you sent it to this committee as being political, yes or no?
I have no idea how my statement got out.
Well, that's bullshit. So, Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask unanimous consent to enter into the record articles by Punchbowl News, Political Playbook, Washington Post, all done at 5:24 a.m., 6:12 a.m., 6:34 a.m., a solid 3 to 4 hours before this committee got your statement.
Without objection, so ordered.
Okay. Is the Secret Service fully cooperating with our committee?
Yes.
Okay. You say you're fully cooperating with this committee. On July 15th, this committee sent you a list of demands of information that we wanted. Has the Secret Service provided this committee a complete list of all law enforcement personnel that were there that day? Have you done that? Have you provided a list to the Oversight Committee? Yes or no?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
That is a no. Have you provided all audio and video recordings in your possession to this committee, as we asked on July 15th? Yes or no?
I would have to get back to you.
That is a no. You're full of shit today. You're just being completely dishonest.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Mike Turber, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing fine. And after hearing that, I mean, just that's amazing that it went to the floor like that. That's my favorite question of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you know, folks, here's the thing. I posted it on social media. There has been a lot of divisive stuff going on. There have been a lot of divisive memes, things like that. You want to talk about a threat to democracy as we know it? That's called an assassination attempt. All right. That is literally somebody's attempt to disrupt the dialogue. That is somebody's attempt to stop a dialogue or to stop choices from happening inside of a democratic electoral process. That is a direct threat to democracy as we know it. So that is bipartisan. There's a reason why this show's color is purple. I am not a partisan person. This should be a problem of red and blue. And as they said earlier, both sides have called for the resignation of the head of the Secret Service because of this incident.
I'm in agreement with that. Absolutely.
Well, and, you know, I have worked numerous shows with presidential details, numerous shows with former presidents, vice presidents, presidential families, visiting dignitaries of state. I've seen a lot of security measures in my time, Mike. I can't say as I've ever seen so many failures of security as there were in this case, all the way down to the 19 minutes of fair warning that pretty well existed. Now, it's pretty interesting when you start getting into things. Only a few days ago did the FBI crack the phone of the shooter. But even then, there's no, like, manifesto. There's no political motive. The kid wasn't, like, insanely politically active or a political activist. As a matter of fact, he had pictures of Rudy Giuliani on his phone. He apparently had pictures of Biden and other Democratic members of Congress on his phone. So his intent swung both ways here.
I think, you know, as you know, from the Las Vegas shooting, I was obviously deeply involved in that.
Yes.
The primary objective I had at the time, even though I was distracted by so many different, you know, things that were going on with that shooting, was to come up with a motive, because that was the very key thing that was repeated every day. We still don't have a motive. We still don't have a motive. And so one of the early thoughts I had on this one is, you know, let me start looking at that a little bit earlier, than just going after all of the physical evidence that I can get a hold of. And, I think one of which I think you saw today. I don't know if you're surprised by that image or not.
Yes.
But the thing that you have to look at is that some of these things are Occam's razor easy, meaning that the very first thing you think of is probably going to be it. And that was essentially the case with Paddock, but I had an advantage because I befriended the brother of the shooter, and I was able to actually get a lot more knowledge, and we came up with the motive 2 years before the FBI did. And in this case, I started looking at it thinking that, you know what, if you're bullied to the point where you may start having thoughts of doing things, harm to yourself, harm to others or whatever, and you want to bring attention to something, I know this is a stretch, but what way could he have done it? Now, was this a thing of opportunity where hey, you know, he realized, oh, the president's coming here.
Yeah.
Maybe that accelerated, you know, something or whatever it was. We don't know. I mean, I know everybody's rolling their eyes right now, probably listening to this going, well, we have no idea what he's talking about. But remember this down the road, if this does come out, that my personal belief after reading the things I've done, you have to try to get into the mind of the shooter and things like this and to figure out why he was doing what he's doing. The thing I was thinking of was, yeah, that would make sense where he was obviously he was bullied in school. And, you know, if you're going to go out kind of like Paddock did, you take a lot of people with you or take somebody important with you. You don't have to shoot the numbers off the floor. That might be a situation where he brought the attention to his cause.
Well, and speaking of taking a lot of people with you, had active explosives in his trunk.
Absolutely.
Had taken the family rifle to a couple days before and disappeared. Apparently flew a drone over the property just a few hours before Trump's arrival, stuff like that. And it is one of those, you know, the one thing I have told many people is do not put a determined person, Mike, can do a lot of things in the world, and especially when people's guards are down, when people aren't doing their jobs, when people are not considering things as secure as it should be. And yes, major failure on behalf of the Secret Service, active known issue, and they still let him take stage.
Yeah, you know, the major problem is the Secret Service in this particular instance has one job.
Yeah.
It's not like a cop who has to do all these different things. It's one job. It's to protect the president or former president or whoever they're assigned to. And keep in mind, Jim Rathman's a friend of mine, so we get to talk about this periodically. And, you know, this scenario of events as it played out was one error after another of things that should have been in place. And, you know, granted, Monday quarterbacking, everybody can say whatever they want. But in this particular case, I don't think anyone would disagree that this was an egregious and abhorrent, manner that this was handled. There are too many situations that were, you know, the woman yelling at going, he's right there. He's on the roof.
Yep.
You know, that's 86 seconds before the shots. And you're thinking, wow, 86 seconds is doesn't sound like a lot of time, but that is a lot of time.
86 seconds is a lot of time for response.
It is. And it should have been plenty of time.
19 minutes and two, is a long time. Yep, that's an eternity for response. Mike.
Yeah, exactly. And so you got the 19, you got 2 hours, you know, when he was first looked at as a suspicious person.
Yes.
They didn't. Now, you know, just so everybody knows, there's two different major things you have to keep in mind. The word suspicious and the word a threat are not synonymous.
No.
So if someone is suspicious, that just means we need to talk to this person and find out.
We need eyes on the situation.
Exactly. The person becomes a threat once you see that there is a actual tangible threat that they possess, whether they're obviously acting in a manner that would make you think, oh, this guy's trying to kill somebody, or they were out of their mind, or if they're walking around with a gun or a weapon or whatever, or if they possess something, or, you know, the sensors go off and they can smell, weapon residue and what have you, and, you know, bomb residue or whatever.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of indicators that separate the two. So suspicious, that's one thing. And I agree that a lot of people look suspicious, especially to a hammer. Everything looks like a nail, right?
Yes.
So when you're out there looking around, especially if you're new, now keep in mind, there are several new trainees that were on this detail as well. We don't have the number of trainees that were there, but it was a good number.
Here's the thing though. Secret Service coordinates regularly. I mean, it's something that something that we hear about every time that there's, you know, money going to the police department is how much overtime is spent every time the president comes into town because of how many additional police officers are put onto detail. Now, it's and yes, right now, the head of the Secret Service is very, very upset with local PD because this was outside of our hard perimeter. So technically it should have been local PD, but I've got the video right here. Let's play it.
Yeah.
What happened to our country? Probably 20 million people.
Here it comes.
And you know, that's a little bit.
So even right there in that amount of time, right there was, he's got a gun, and you hear the shooting happening. So close enough that people right there were able to see him within 500 feet of the president.
And there are so many mistakes made. This is just going to be a breeding ground for all kinds of conspiracies, which makes sense because, oh my God, you're giving them all kinds of reasons to have these thoughts as to why you failed. And of course you have the extreme that's going to go off, you know, the deep end to one end, and then you're going to have the other end, and somewhere in the middle is going to be where some truth is. But either way, what is undeniable is how many mistakes were made that are fundamentally trained into these Secret Service agents. Even if you're a trainee on a presidential detail, you've been there for probably 20 years. You do not become, you go into presidential detail as a trainee, you know, you're fresh out of the academy, so to speak. It doesn't work that way. And so in this regard, with the things, obviously, if you look at the root of the problem here, it's obviously communication. People did not get the information to the people that needed to either make the decision, or the person that would make the decision didn't make the right decision. That's the question. There's only two ways to look at it. Either A, they didn't have the correct information, or B, they had the correct information and they made the wrong decision. Either way, it's bad. That, you know, that stuff is going to play out. And the way she answered those questions today, which I guess the term answered questions isn't proper.
It was
your classic. You know, no wonder it went on for hours and hours and hours, because no one got a true, transparent answer other than her making it sound like she's going to be transparent. And yeah, I mean, she sounded like she genuinely wanted to help. And I get the part about tactics and methods. Whenever you ask a question that's very specific to how you operate a presidential detail as far as your protection, you are not going to say yes or no, we used a drone, or yes or no, we have eight guys that do this and two guys that do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was one of the things that I've told people is number one, when it happened, because I was out at the MUFON symposium.
Correct.
Stephen Bishop, shout out, brother. I went outside for a cigarette and got a text from Stephen Bishop happening right now. Yeah. Trump shot at a rally. And he started sending me pictures of his TV. So I started diving and I started hearing things about gunshots at a rally. And I heard people like, Trump's been shot. I was like, whoa, hold on. Only thing, let's wait. Like, we are at a conference about science in the 5% realm, right? So let's wait for the data to come in before we jump to Trump has been shot. All right.
Yeah.
The blood on his ear at that point could have come from being tackled by eight Secret Service men, all kinds of things. Let's wait till we hear from a doctor that he treated a gunshot wound on former President Trump, or that there's an announcement that Trump was shot. All right. And even at that point, it took 3 hours almost for them to clear the property enough to clear the secondary limousine to get him out to a hospital.
Yeah.
He was still on property for 3 hours. So
and
you want
to
talk about birds of conspiracy theories. There's one for you. Another one that I kept telling people was, you know, there's a reason why he hasn't reached out to the family of the victim. He also is a victim, and there's an active investigation going on. they are going to let the victims talk. That's how an investigation works.
Yeah, correct. I think Eric or someone reached out to the families from the Trump family. Yes. So that, you know, that did happen. But the you know, there is a, you know, obviously the Secret Service has a on team medic that is there to assess the situation quickly, because there's, you know, so they're not going to, you know, say, oh my God, we got to get him to the hospital. No, you don't have to get him to the hospital. You need to get him to the doctor that you have here right now, and then let him do the assessment. So since obviously it was more of a plus one, you know, I don't even think they could say that it was the actual bullet that went through his ear. It may have been, you know, pieces of the podium glass and what have you, that did that. So you have all of these different factors that are weighing in and said, okay, he's, you know, he's fist pumping, he's doing all these things. He's saying, where's my shoes? You know, we're hearing all this. I mean, I'm listening to the PBS version of the broadcast, which is where the better audio I was able to pull came from, because the microphone was stationary and I could actually time the shots and all this other stuff. So, you know, when you listen to all of these things, and the, you know, you hear the Secret Service saying, oh yeah, shooter's down and blah, 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 it starts to make you feel a little bit better. But the people obviously that were there weren't hearing all of this, because it wasn't necessarily going out on the speakers where they could hear it. You know, so that was saying, so within 4 minutes, I was actually going back and recording, doing the video and pulling it back to see what happened. And it was very telling. And I can sit here and honestly say that, wow, that moment is a moment just like a lot of other moments that we've had, that you will never, ever forget where you were. You'll never forget what you're doing at that moment. And you'll never forget that image of Trump. No matter if you're Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter, or alien, I don't care. If you see someone like that who was just shot at and pumping his fist and saying fight, 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 you're like, wow, okay.
And so. You know, that birthed to a lot of conspiracy theory, as you were saying, Mike. And there were friends of mine that, you know, run the blue side of the aisle that were like, this was staged. I'm like, do you really? I was like, number one, hold on. I was like, hold on, because you're getting in the world of conspiracy now, and that's my backyard. So do you really think in a staged event that they would actively kill people? That makes it a false flag.
Right.
Not a staged event. A staged event, everything is fake. So you're saying that somebody pulled a false flag event. That's full-on conspiracy theory here now. You're saying that somebody pulled the false flag event in order to bump up Trump's polls. And it's like, well, number one, the assassination attempt on, you know, the opponent of John F. Kennedy it didn't help Governor Wallace win the election.
No, so a lot of these times these things backfire, no pun intended.
It doesn't necessarily help. Also, you aren't going to typically kill somebody at a staged event, much less two people. That would again be called the false flag. And are you saying that Biden's in on it because he said put Trump in a bullseye? Are you saying that the whole crowd that didn't run and scatter in fear like ants at a picnic when water's dropped on them, you know, like,
well, that's that classic crisis actor crew. Yeah,
they're all in on it. Every one of them, every one of those people behind the bullet line, actively behind him, where the bullets were running to, where the guy was shot. They're all in on it, you know, like,
and we had the same thing in Vegas Yeah, we had the exact same thing on a much larger scale than this was. I mean, it was just, so you had helicopters, you had, you know, ninjas, you had all the Saudi princes and, you know, the top of the Four Seasons. And I mean, I had to go through the whole gambit. So finally, when we did the audio analysis, we were able to narrow down within 23 feet where the shots actually came from. You know, so that helped narrow down the multiple shooter thing. And then it was the army nutritionist guy, Mike, whatever his name is, him and I got in a big heated argument. Well, I'm going to show you exactly where the second shooter was. I'm like, good luck with that.
Here's the tunnel of the train to the Excalibur. Like, that's where he is. It's like, okay. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Every time I go to the, every time I take that tram from the Excalibur, I'm like, yep, this is right where he was. Right here. This is the grass. This is the shady knoll. Right.
Yeah, and then you had that guy, John Cullen, who's, you know, his thing with the, with the helicopters was he could hear it through the, on this particular helicopter, whatever. And I said, the sound. And when I finally told him, I said, you don't even know what those sounds are, do you? And he says, it's the sound of gunfire. I said, no, it's actually a problem with the GoPro camera. Whenever you turn on Wi-Fi, it makes this sound that's of the helicopters or whatever. And he's like, and he's totally 7 seconds of video. Was his entire career was based on that, and he's still doing it to this day. But anyway, so back to this: when we break this down into the different segments, the conspiracies kind of are they're going to be there no matter what you and I say tonight.
Absolutely, they're always going to be there. They're always going to be there, and that's just it. Once again, I'm not saying don't hypothesize people, because here's the thing. And this is what I say when I speak at conferences. This is what I say when I guest on shows about curious research and things like that, is don't be sad that your picture was proven false, because every point of datum, especially the ones excluded from the data set, are important.
Right.
Knowing what to exclude from the data set is the most important thing. So because your picture was proven false, that actually increases the data set of unknown quantitives. Mm-hmm. You see? Yeah. So don't be afraid of somebody like, that isn't what your picture is. It's okay because your hypothesis added to the data set.
Yeah, I don't think in this case we're going to have as much of that. Maybe that tower video that's going around. I'm going to have to look at that a little closer, because I mean there are some goofy looking things whenever you look really close, especially when you over magnify an image. It's very difficult to tell what the camera's trying to interpolate what it's looking at and to produce an image that you can see.
Digital cameras actively have algorithms that will like try to denoise live and try to assume what that shadow is and marry it with something else, so you can get all kinds of wild weird artifacts. Acting. And that's one reason why, let's go ahead and get into the shooting itself, because I've got the video queued up and I've got the audio files queued up of the video. So let's go ahead and watch that, and then we'll listen to the files. So what you're going to hear, folks, for those of you who are out there listening, you're going to hear the actual video that our watching audience live is going to watch. And then you're going to hear the audio of that. And you're going to hear the audio of the shooting. You're going to hear the first three rounds from the shooter. Then you're going to hear another barrage of rounds. Then a little bit of a pause. And then the round from the Secret Service and a shriek by a woman. Now, after that, you will hear the same audio of the shooting slowed down by 60% so that you can actively identify not only each shot, but the sound of the bullet hitting the sound barrier after the shot, because that's the most important thing. Anybody out there that's a hunter knows when their buddy hit a deer, because instead of a pow cack, the cack is the sound of the bullet hitting the sound barrier. Instead of that, you'll hear a pow, you'll hear a slap, where it sounds like something hitting a piece of meat at a distance. And that's how you'll know that somebody hit target instead of missing and taking an air shot. And that's what you hear here. You hear all of them with the sound of the bullet hitting the sound barrier after. So let's watch the video first, then we'll listen to those and we'll analyze them there, Mike.
Sure. Sounds good.
Happens very rapidly. And once again, crowd not really moving. Nobody really moving. you know? So that is the video of the whole event, folks. That is the full unadulterated video, live feed, as it happened. What you're going to see now on screen is the actual pre and post, and then we'll see it post. So now on screen, you can see the actual feed of the audio. You can see the really high, thin spikes. Those are the gunshots, everybody, just so you know. So watch the audio. Watch the follow the bouncing ball, everybody.
A little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened.
And that last shot that you heard there was the Secret Service taking their shot at the shooter. And once again, you could hear all of the post effect of those shots. Here it is in slow motion. So pretty interesting when you start listening to that in slow motion, Mike, because once again, you can hear the individual rounds going off. You can hear the breaking of the sound barrier of each one. And once again, where some people may think that second shooter is that second barrage of bullets, that the report of the round and the breaking of the sound barrier seem much closer together, which would indicate a different caliber of bullet, you know, or different amount of powder behind things, you know, to get the bullet downrange faster.
Correct. So what happens, the anatomy of a shot, whenever the bullet leaves the chamber, you're going to have two distinct sounds that you'll hear. One will be the actual muzzle bang, and the other will be the crack of the sonic boom as it basically passes by you. If you are not in, there's like a cone that goes out from the bullet as the bullet travels. And if you are not within that cone, which is of about 150 feet of that cone, you're not going to hear that sonic crack. So all you're going to hear is that muzzle bang. And that actually helps determine, you know, some, you know, which direction the gunfire is coming from. You'll hear some people that are experienced in war or whatever, they'll know that, okay, well, I can hear this and I don't hear that, so it's not coming this direction. And so it's very confusing, though, to people when they hear it for the first time, or they're listening to it and they're trying to analyze audio themselves and what have you to determine, you know, what's going on here, because you hear all these different sounds. And some sounds are going to be confusing because you'll hear the report go out. You'll hear a echo reflection off of the side of a building, come back and so forth and whatever. So it does get confusing. And I can see where people will say multiple shooters. Oh, it's, you know, I heard the shot coming from over here when in fact it came from a different direction and what have you. So those are some factors you have to weigh into it. And I'll try to make some real snazzy graphics that'll help with that. I did it for Vegas and I'll try to do it for here.
Here it is again, rolling across the screen for everybody to see. And
you playing the wave pad, bro?
What's that?
I can't see obviously what you're doing. Were you playing the wave pad, bro? Okay,
yeah, cool. Yeah, exactly. Playing it on screen where you could see the individual spikes from the gunshots. you know, and see that happening. Like I said, right here, those skinny spikes that you see are the individual gunshots and their post reports from the rounds breaking the sound barrier. And
so one thing you're going to see in that, you know, I'm just visualizing in my mind what you're looking at there. The first three shots that were fired were all fired pretty much in the same direction. And so those sounds, as they go past the microphone, are going to sound very similar. Mm-hmm. So you're going to hear the pop and then the crack, pop, crack, pop, crack. So those are the same. And then I believe at that moment he ducked down and then he popped back up. And then at that point fired off, you know, five more rounds, you know, obviously a lot quicker. And that's where people say, oh no, those were from a different shooter because they sounded different. Well, the reason why they sounded different is because he probably wasn't aiming them the exact same way. So they won't sound the same as they come past the microphone or your ear or whatever device is being utilized to listen to the audio, or if you were actually there. And that's another situation you have to look at it. Again, if you're not inside that cone, you're not going to hear the sonic crack at all.
And you know, considering the fact, especially Mike, that mm-hmm. the shooter, he was seen by local PD. And in that time, local PD did have time to go up the same AC unit that he accessed it through. Mm-hmm. Another officer right. gave one a boost. And before he started shooting was seen by local PD. That's when he took correct. His first shots. The problem was the cop was trying to pull himself up, saw him and yeah. had both hands mm-hmm. like he had both hands on a roof trying to pull himself up, you know, so he couldn't really pull yeah. a firearm or anything like that without actively falling. But that right. is, that yeah. is where, literally that, where that, that I think that I think
the
movement
officer actually
comes
fell
from.
Back down before the, any of the shots, I think were fired. I think he had already fallen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, exactly. But that explains why he took the shots he did and then probably yeah. moved to another location on the roof. Yeah. Just a few feet yeah, away, something like that, which would change the way that the rounds sound.
And then not only that, to make a bad situation unbelievably out of this world, is the roof that he's on is the staging area for the police.
Yeah.
It is the AGR building.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's
yeah,
their agriculture
inside. Road. The state police were inside the building. Yeah.
Yeah. And they could, and they couldn't hear this guy crawling on the roof, which is kind of amazing, you know. So, and then of course you have Cheadle that says that she wouldn't put officers on that roof because of the slope. Well, that slope on that building is what's called a 112 slope, and that's as about as low as a slope as you can put on a building and keep it going. In fact, you could put a ramp, an ADA certified wheelchair ramp on the top of that building and it would be okay. Now the Secret Service agents that were returning the fire, the snipers, they were on a 312 slope building. So when Cheadle said that I wouldn't put my officers over there because of the extreme slope, I think she
I've been on
must have
higher
back
slope room. Roofs than that doing roofing.
You absolutely.
And it was
just the opposite of what she was saying because her agents were on a higher slope.
Now, granted, going. That is one of the things I have responded to with most people who have brought mm-hmm. that up. Like, well, you know, the slope. It's like, you know who's not concerned about safety? Assassins.
Yeah.
They aren't really concerned about how slope the roof is or if it's slippery or maybe, you know, there's an OSHA regulation involved. There's none of that with an assassin.
Yeah.
You know, they are really concerned. He's riding around with live explosives in his trunk. He's not really concerned right. about his safety or if he makes it back from his mission here, you know?
Well, I think he wanted to carry out the mission, but whether or not he was going to come back. I agree.
And so, he was looking up. He mm-hmm. obviously thought about the consequences of his actions because some of the stuff that he looked up was the shooter whose parents got sued.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was along with where the Republican rallies were, where the Democratic National Convention was, Trump's schedule, mm-hmm. Biden's, where Biden was going to be appearing for the Democratic races, as well as these other members of Congress and Rudy Giuliani. The only other thing mm-hmm. he looked up was the repercussions on the parents. So
there's a couple other things
to see that. And once again, his employer, he took the day off of work, told right. work he had something to do. But even his employer, his friends from school, his family, everybody, you know, like most of these shooters, especially teenage shooters, people that have been bullied. He was in a BlackRock mm-hmm. video. Let's not address that. Mike,
yeah, okay. I posted that BlackRock video within minutes.
BlackRock video. Wonder where these conspiracies are birthed from. You know, I had somebody, I'm not going to say who it was or how I know them. I had somebody, though, send me a thing about like how this major hedge fund had transferred a whole bunch of money and purchased a whole bunch of shares. And
if you like, scripted this out, you wouldn't even scripted it this way. You'd be like, okay, we're getting to a point where it's unbelievable. Yeah. This kid was in a BlackRock ad. Okay, seriously.
And he was like, it is stranger than fiction, man. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Now, am I saying that kid is a Blackwater employee or something like that? No, apparently not a good enough shot to get into the shooting club. You know,
we have to remember that people did, a person did die here. We had two others that were seriously injured. And so when we look at this event and then we look past, if when we look at it from say 2-3 years from now, as we look back upon it, we're going to think about the things that stuck out.
Yes.
You know, we're not going to remember all the nuances and the little details that you and I might be discussing right around now.
Yeah.
But the things that are going to stick out are going to be the things that they'll still be talking about, you know, a couple of years down the road. And that is going to be all of these strange, amazing coincidences and what have you, which spur the conspiracy theories. And that's why conspiracy theories will last a long time.
That's right.
Because they have a lot of footage, because it's interesting. It's different. It's like you meet somebody, say, hey, did you hear about blah, blah, blah? Did you know? And then the next thing you hear is, did you know that blah, blah, blah was in the BlackRock ad and this and that, whatever. And that's where it starts separating and it starts taking on its own, you know, persona. And it manifests and goes through the internet like wildfire. So that's something we're going to do. So over the, you know, just like with Vegas, I'm already dealing with it. So I'm going to piece together as much as I can, because I want everybody to know the truth about what happened, but also the fact of what happened.
Here's the truth, Mike. Mm-hmm. People want attention. People want confirmation of belief.
Absolutely.
People want confirmation that they are there. They want to be seen. And the sad fact, you can decry, you know, easy access to a firearm all day long, you know. He bought ammo from a vending machine that morning, you know, things like that, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. But here's the thing. What you have to consider is that this kid, who obviously didn't have a hugely troubled life, you know, didn't like go to school, being beat on every single day, things like that from reports. Even everybody saying he seemed to be okay, wasn't planning anything, no real political motivations in life, you know, things like that. Not a Trump hater, not a Trump supporter. Just absolutely ordinary. How can he get away with it? Well, A, through lapses in security and people being very, very comfortable. And B, most of the very popular video games out there right now that kids play are stuff like Call of Duty, where literally your job is to avoid about another 20 live players with guns who are hunting you down to kill you, and get past them and climb onto a building and shoot them as a sniper.
Yeah.
And these kids are apparently so good at it that the U.S. military literally says we should be recruiting them because they're already trained.
And all of these games, they're called first-person shooters, I used to play them all the time. I mean, I loved it. But when you're playing it, the strategies that are played out... Yeah.
He's got boots on the ground.
The strategies that are played out are very similar to real strategies. And you'll have these guys that come into these semi-military type, high school cliques that have a military feel. So maybe they're ROCC or maybe they just have a military, air about them where they actually study these tactics and what have you. And so they have a lot of this knowledge, down pat when they go in to do it. And sometimes these games actually teach them a lot of that strategic or tactical knowledge as they go out and they play these things. And that's a good thing if you're going to the military or you're going to be on the good side, but it's kind of a not so good thing when these types of events happen. America has a problem. We know we do with all the mass shootings and what have you. That's a given. And whether or not it's our mental health issues that we have here or whether or not we have too many guns or this or that, that's all up for debate, but that's not what's up for debate tonight. Essentially, we're looking at a situation to where a former president was shot at, and it hadn't happened in almost, 40 years?
Yeah, not since and I was a
kid. And it shouldn't have happened. Yeah. There were major failures that glaring, obvious errors. And maybe this was the wake-up call the Secret Service needed to say, hey, you guys need to hunker down. Maybe they're goofing off or something like that, but I don't think so. I know obviously Jim Reffin, but, some Secret Service guys. And, when we talk, long before this particular shooting, we always talk about how serious those details are. When you're on that detail, you are laser focused. Your job is to protect the life of the person you're with. When I did VIP, protection details under World of Weapons and stuff like this, some of the things that were, kind of taken into the context of the moment is that's the only thing you're trying to do. So you will do some goofy stuff to save a person's life or to stop them from doing something stupid, even going to the bathroom with them. So all of these different scenarios that people don't really think about are played out. So it's in these guys' minds 24/7. So I don't think that was at play here. I think there were some obviously major glaring errors made that obviously need to be addressed.
Absolutely. This
person that's the director, as she said, the buck stops here. Fine. Why are you still here?
Yeah.
Who's going to come up?
That mm-hmm. is one of the things that I've mentioned to everybody asking questions. We don't have answers yet. It's like, number one, remember, every single, and I'll bring it up on camera. I will bring it up on screen right now so that everybody can see it. Every single member of the Secret Service.
Yeah. Roe was second coming, right?
Every single one of them, every single one of them that was there that day, all of them, every one of them are under investigation right now. They are not holding a badge. They are not holding a gun. They are not driving into work right now. They are all being treated as though a cop on the street who just shot somebody. You're going through trauma training and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You're going to go talk to a psychiatrist for a little while because you just went through a pretty traumatic event. Like I said earlier, ain't no victims talking to each other to say sorry about this because you're involved in a criminal investigation. I know a couple few former Secret Service agents. None of them wanted to come on and talk about this, because of a lot of the things out there. That's what I said, is that if you want to get down to a conspiracy theory, sadly and horribly, what it probably came down to is somebody whose job it was to take care of something who just didn't give a damn about enough about the candidate that day to give a damn. And that's horrifying. That's horrifying.
Yeah, and then the pass off to the other agency. Whenever you have multiple agencies working together, you're going to have probably communication issues. You're going to have different things like this. You're going to have perimeter issues and say, okay, they're responsible for that. We're responsible for this. But the Secret Service is responsible for that individual that they are guarding. They were responsible for Trump. So they have to oversee everything. So when they come in there, they're not going to say, oh, okay, you're going to take care of those buildings over there. Okay. So we won't even look over there because we know you guys are good and you'll handle it. No, they don't do that. So that's why they had their own snipers on the buildings behind Trump, doing what they were doing. The problem that comes into play is I guess no one would have expected a person to that blatantly be able to climb onto a building, especially the same building that is. It was 147
snipers within 500 feet of the dais.
Yeah. And then on top of that, they're on top of the building that the other officers are in. That's the staging area for the other officers. Yeah. So I'm sure, and I would have to admit that if I was standing there and I was looking through my scope going, who the hell is that on that building there? I would have probably hesitated for just a second and go, wait, that's on top of the building where the other officers are. Is that another officer climbing on the building?
I was going to say, guaranteed there was a good 15, there was a few bumps of a radio here and there where somebody was like, hey, anybody got eyes on what's on top of the building?
Right. But if all those other events hadn't happened before that,
is that cleared traffic up there? That kind of stuff.
But if all those other events hadn't happened before that, then that would be a logical thought going, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you hesitated for a second because you thought it might be another officer. Okay. You wanted to clarify before you took the shot, blah, blah, blah. But once you see that rifle pop up and there's not supposed to be any other snipers out there, you take the shot. And this bullshit, I'm sorry, pardon my language.
It's okay, brother, it's okay.
BS,
I feel you.
This BS about him having to call in to get some sort of approval, you have a basic blanket approval. If someone pulls a weapon on the president or the former president, you're not going to call somebody and say, he just lifted up a rifle and I think he's going to take a shot. And I have permission to shoot him. I don't know where that came from, but I heard that all day today. I'm like, there is no such rule anywhere. I mean, in the overall scheme of things, there is. But if your job is to protect the president and someone lists a rifle to shoot the president, you don't have to wait to get permission to shoot this guy.
Yeah.
That's total bogus. And whoever keeps propagating that is just... I just don't get it.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's just it. The leaps of logic abound out there, Mike. Like one dawned on me just a minute ago. The whole Supreme Court decision on presidential unction. That just happened. Like, hey, what if Biden did order the hit and he's saying like, no, this was essential for democracy. I'm protected by the new Supreme Court decision. I'll tell you, Supreme Court decision, we do have a former president who's in a real sticky widget of a situation for actively internationally assassinating a man. That's why that law was passed. Because otherwise, unfortunately, you assassinated Osama bin Laden and then went on international TV and went, hey, man. We just assassinated Osama bin Laden and like actively admitted to an international crime where you should be sitting in The Hague,
So I think in that regard, I think they felt rather comfortable with that. But keep in mind that each year there are a lot of people that are unalived around the world because they are a threat to us in one way or another, or a threat to another nation or agency or what have you. So this happens, I won't say daily, but it definitely happens more times than people think.
It's a pretty reg situation, and you hear about it, folks. You hear about, the bombs being dropped from drones, the Mercedes Benz being blown up, things like that. The one I remind people about all the time is that Dallas shooter that got droned on national television on American soil, where they grenaded him with a bomb robot. You know,
absolutely.
So,
then they made it seem like that was like a thing that they had just thought of. It's like,
But make no mistake, folks. Once again, I don't care if you are a visiting dignitary from Russia. Somebody takes a pot shot at you. That is a threat to the democratic process. That is a threat to our country. That is a threat to what we stand for as a country. I do not care what your affiliation is. I do not care what color you politically bleed, what buttons you wear on a jacket, or what ticket you vote absolutely. If you are a fan of what has happened, feel free to unfriend me. Because that's not the conversation. And that's not how you have a conversation. That's literally like putting a wall up against the conversation.
Yeah, and it wouldn't matter which side of the fence that this would have happened on. I think it being on the Trump side, it does kind of bring up some other questions that probably wouldn't be brought up with Biden or whatever. But either way, it makes no difference. This is a situation to where our system that is designed and put into place to protect the very people at the top of the echelon, the Secret Service presidential detail is absolutely the top of the echelon. That's the guy. Keep in mind, the guy that carries the football is one of those guys. Okay. So you've got that. Now, obviously not with Trump in this particular situation, because obviously Trump's no longer president, but these guys are trained to that level. So you've got these people, all the top secret security clearances, all that have been in there. You know, keep in mind that Kimberly, Kimberly Cheadle, the director, she was an agent for 27 years.
That's right.
Before she left. And then went and took a job with Pepsi and guarded Doritos or whatever it was that Senator said. And then came back to take over as director. So it wasn't like she guarded Doritos and then the next day she's guarding the president. That's not how that works.
But
at the same time, there was a lot of errors made. And I think the biggest error made is with her and the way she was answering those questions or not answering the questions today.
God, it was as shifty and dodgy as you could get.
Yeah. And she could have said, like with the drone question, did you fly a drone, before this event? Well, I'm not going to get into she went on this long tangent of answer. Just have a canned answer, just like you have the Fifth Amendment. Just say that would reveal methods and tactics, and we will not discuss that. This is you and I have had that conversation before where I can't reveal it.
That's right.
And you got to hold those true to heart until you die or whatever. I mean, it's just something you don't discuss. So that part I get, but the other parts, there's just too many errors. We're going to sail this place out. I don't see her lasting past Wednesday. That would be my prediction. We'll see what happens there.
In the midst of it all, Biden has dropped out and all kinds of things. Yep. So it's interesting to see where this goes. Mike, thanks so much for coming on, as always, and talking about a hot button topic, a hot button issue, and being willing to talk about it, man, because, once again, most of the shows I have seen out there have talked about it, but they have definitely gone down the rabbit hole of conspiracy. And I will not do that. I will look at facts that are available. I will gladly question things that are questionable. I will gladly question things that are definitely out of place. I'll gladly question things that are like, well, it is definitely interesting that he was in a BlackRock ad.
And I put that out there. I think I was probably one of the first to put that out there. And that's me fueling the conspiracy theories or whatever, because it's going to happen anyway.
It's got to be out there. It's got to be out there. Who knows? Like, he may have connected the two online, looking at things and been like, my God, I'm part of the monster, I'm a stitch in the monster's face. Who knows?
But I just like putting the data out there.
Once again,
people figure
we
out.
Have no manifesto. This is another shooting, much like the one that brought us together. That we have no manifesto. We have no motive. Mm-hmm. I doubt that we will find any true motive amongst this in this, because it's a 20-year-old kid who was not like an angsty 20-year-old kid, you know. What the lesson here is, the lesson for the Secret Service and the lesson for families out there, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And I think over the next few days, we're going to learn a lot more about the mental state of the individual and what have you. And some more stuff may come out. Cause right when someone dies, you know, the first thing words out of your mouth aren't going to be, yeah, well, he was a wackadoodle and he would like to shoot and he talked about badly about blah, blah. People don't do that. He generally comes out down the road.
Yeah. But I mean, granted, you know, you tend to see things on social media. You tend to see things once again, once they cracked his phone and had it for a few days, there wasn't a trail of a lot of that stuff that there typically is.
No. And, but you keep in mind, we don't know everything that they did find. And they're going to hold some things, but yeah, exactly. That's they're going to hold some things just like that. The image that I sent to you, you know, that was a proof of what happened, you know? And, you know, so whenever you get a little bit more information than someone else may have or something, sometimes you just gotta hang on to it for whatever reason. But at the same time, if you're the director of the Secret Service and you're sitting in front of the senators, then, and they ask you questions, you can't be evasive. You just say, I'm not going to answer that because it would reveal methods and tactics, and then shut up.
Yeah.
No, she didn't do that. It was bad. It was really bad. She's got to go.
She did not make it look good at all. Mm-hmm. At all. Let's just say that.
So, nope.
Mike, once again, thank you so much for taking the time, brother. Let everybody know where they can go, because we were, of course, showing videos from 5x5 News, things like that, during the show. Let everybody know where they can go to find out more about 5x5 News, where they can go to follow you, where they can go to keep up with everything, bud.
The easiest way for most, especially some of the historical stuff that I've done, is going to be the 5x5 News channel on YouTube. But also we're going to launch some lives here pretty quick on TikTok, which will include the current situation that we're dealing with here. I think it'll probably be one of the first subjects that we talk about, and do some analyzation and stuff like that. So either TikTok, YouTube, or on X or Twitter. I still call it Twitter, on X. you'll be able to engage, and by all means, just contact me directly. If you ever need a question answered or something like that, that just is something that you saw that I've worked on before, I'm easy to approach and answer as best I can.
Fantastic, brother. Well, thank you as always. Hold the line while we close things out real quick. While you are online checking out everything from Mike Turber and 5x5 News, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is where you can like, follow, subscribe, share, comment. That is where you can find all of our platforms. We're pretty much everywhere that audio and video is carried. We're carried on the Aftermath Media Network on Friday nights at 9 p.m. just prior to Clyde Lewis. So check that out, everybody. Also make sure to stop on by Curious Research. Curious Research is our new endeavor to help the paranormal world shake hands with science. That is where you can get your copy of the Field Observation and Encounter Log. If you're an investigator into the paranormal, into cryptids, into UFOs, UAPs, carry one of those with you. And while you're out there gathering your evidence, while you're out there gathering pictures, looking for things, you can actively write down all the data that eventually a lab or a scientist will need to know along with that picture or film. So stop on by and check that out. CuriousResearch.org, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for your time, for your consideration with these topics. It's not easy to have the conversation, but it's your open hearts, your open minds that make the conversation, everybody. And without the conversation, humanity does not march forward. So remember, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. To download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault, or become a sponsor of Curious Realm, visit our website at CuriousRealm.com. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast and video services, CuriousRealm.com, as well as KGRA Radio, APR TV, and the official Curious Realm app for Roku devices. Curious Realm is a proud member of the Ground Zero Media and Aftermath Media family of podcasts. For more great shows and members-only content, visit aftermath.media today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.